I would ask you to turn for a moment to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. And there the Bible records, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned." In Hebrews chapter 11, we have what I have called a picture gallery of faith. As you enter that spiritual art gallery, you can see hanging on the walls portraits, pictures of various saints of God. We began by looking at a wonderful example of faith, Abel. There in verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." In speaking of Abel, we referred to the worship of faith. Then we talk about Enoch in verses 5 and 6. And he obviously speaks to us of the walk of faith, because Enoch walked with God by faith, and before his translation he had that testimony that he pleased God. He was not, Genesis 5 tells us, for God took him. He walked with God by faith. Then we referred to Noah and the work of faith. By faith he built the ark to the saving of his house, and by which also he condemned the world. We then looked at Abraham, and what an example he is of the willingness of faith. Abraham, the Bible tells us, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. From Abraham's willingness of faith, we then talked about Sarah and the wherewithal of faith. Because verse 11 of Hebrews 11 says that through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then we talked about Moses and the way of faith. When he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But we also then last time spoke about Moses in relation to his keeping of the Passover. And in that we have exemplified the wisdom of faith. These are all great examples of people who lived by faith. But this portion, Hebrews 11, also records for us some wonderful exploits of faith. Faith goes to work. We learn that from all of the lives that we've already considered and those that are still to be considered in the chapter. Wonderful exploits are done by faith. Faith, when it's true, always goes into action. That's how you know that you have faith. It is proved by your works. Now that's clear not only in the examples we've already considered, but in those that we're now going to concentrate upon. Because in remaining messages in the will of the Lord, we're going to be looking at some of the wonders of faith. For instance, you have the wonder of the waves, and we'll be looking at that today, the parting of the Red Sea. And then you have the wonder of the walls, because by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. And then we're going to be very polite and say in verse 31, we have there the wonder of the woman. Though there's another word beginning with W that we could have used. The Bible says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." And there's a great wonder of faith there in that particular woman. But the first wonder of faith that we're going to look at is recorded in verse 29. "By faith they," and it's referring to the children of Israel, "passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned." The crossing of the Red Sea was a wonder. And let me begin by saying that this is literal history. We know there are some who want to tell us that the parting of the Red Sea, Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath, Noah and the ark, and all of those things are just nice little fables, nice little stories from which we are meant to glean spiritual lessons. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, we are to glean spiritual lessons from those stories, but those are actual, literal incidents from history. These things really happened. And when the Bible says that by faith they passed through the Red Sea, it means that by faith they did pass through the Red Sea on dry land. The rolling back of the waves was a great miracle of God, a mighty act of God, when He actually suspended the laws of nature, particularly the law of gravity, on behalf of His people, and held back those raging waters so that they could pass through to the other side. But I want you to notice that though this was a work of God, it was a wonder wrought by God, the emphasis in Hebrews 11 is upon the great wonder of the Israelites' faith. Notice that. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. The Lord, by His Spirit, is emphasizing the faith of the people of God. Though I would have to just put a little caveat in there and say that not all of those who passed over were those who had true faith. For many of them perished in the wilderness in unbelief. Most of them indeed. But it's talking about the faith of the true people of God who were among them. Now, as we look at this story, we could learn that for our individual lives, there are lessons. Because if you're a child of God, you will know that sometimes Christians face crises in their lives that may seem to be of Red Sea proportions. Something that you face that there just doesn't seem to be any answer to, there doesn't seem to be any way through. That's true of the individual. I think it's also true of the church. Many's a congregation comes up against situations that are akin to what Israel faced at the Red Sea. And it just doesn't seem possible to move forward. And yet, by faith in an almighty sovereign God, we can walk through those circumstances and emerge victorious on the other side without the waters hurting us. And that's what I want us to think about today. How the Lord worked, and how in turn He can work for us. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. How did they do that? First of all, they passed through the Red Sea by faith because God dealt with their fears. Let's go back to the history. In Exodus 14, you will see that they must have been granted faith to walk through the Red Sea because prior to their walking through the sea, they had no faith. They actually were filled with unbelief. Look at Exodus 14, and we read from verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. But notice, they weren't crying out in faith. Verse 11 says, And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. There's the language of unbelief. They just thought, It's all over. We're done. As we would say today, we're toast. We're done. The enemy is fast approaching. And we're done for. We're going to die in the wilderness. There are no words of faith here. Rather, we read in verse 10, at the end of the verse, that they were sore afraid. They were frightened out of their wits. Afraid of what lay ahead. Afraid of what the enemy was going to do to them. Now, you might look at that and say, well, were those not natural fears? Yes, indeed they were. And if I had been there, and you had been there, we would have been exactly the same as they were. Because on a purely human level, they had every right to be afraid. Here's this multitude of people. Some reckon there could have been as many as 5 million of them. children, tiny ones, cattle, sheep, all their belongings. They're not exactly people who could move really fast. And here they are, and the enemy is catching them up. All the chariots, all the horses, all of the horsemen, all the military might of Egypt coming behind them with one intent, either to kill them or to capture them and bring them back into bondage in Egypt. On one side you have the mountains. They can't go that way. On the other side there's the wilderness. You can't go there. And ahead of them is the Red Sea. Hemmed in on every side, the armies of Egypt catching up quickly behind. Surely their fears were natural. Yes, they were. But you see, faith is supernatural. You can't work up faith. You can't dig deep within yourself and find faith. That's often preached, and it's a fallacy. Faith doesn't come from within. It doesn't come from yourself. It's supernatural. It comes down from heaven. And faith is supernatural, and therefore when God gave these people faith to go forward, their natural fears were dispelled. Now when you look at this portion, you might think about yourself and the fact that you might fear the future. Many of us fear the unknown. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what a day may bring forth, the Bible says. And maybe I'm talking to someone this morning and you have very natural fears about certain things. Well, I would say to you, take your fears to the Lord and ask Him for faith to move forward and to go on. We read in Mark chapter 9 these words in verses 23 and 24. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now you might read that and say, well, that's a contradiction. How can you say, I believe, but yet help thou mine unbelief? Well, you can say that because that's the experience of the child of God. We're believers, but a lot of times we're unbelieving believers. And we are filled with natural fears. And what we need to do is like this man did concerning his son, who couldn't be healed by any natural means at all. We cry with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. That's what he did. And God answered his prayer, and God healed his son. Take your fears to the Lord. You feel like you can't move ahead, you can't go forward, ask for faith to move forward. Now I want you to see here as well in these people that their initial reaction appeared to be a good one. It appeared to be the right one, because it does tell us that though they were sore afraid, they cried out unto the Lord. You read that in Exodus 14 at the end of verse 10. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The problem was they didn't cry out unto the Lord in faith, because they didn't wait for an answer. They just straight away started complaining and blaming Moses for the situation. Look at verse 11. And they said unto Moses, not to the Lord, they're not praying anymore, they're talking to Moses, and they said, Moses, putting it in quite colloquial terms, is it because there was no graveyard in Egypt that you decided to bring us out here and dig the graves here? Is this not what we told you when we were still in Egypt, that we would be better to stay here rather than to die in the wilderness? What short memories these people had. Do we look to the Lord in times of crisis, or do we look for scapegoats to blame? How we need to seek for refuge at the throne of grace when the Red Sea situations appear before us. But something else about these fears, they were not only natural fears, they were needless fears. They were needless fears that God had to deal with. They should have realized that it was not Moses who had brought them out of Egypt, as they wrongly stated, it was the Lord. Now, look at verse 11 of chapter 14. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They were blaming Moses for bringing them to the place where they now were. But let's go back to chapter 12 of Exodus and see the reality. See what the true situation was. Chapter 12, verse 51. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Who brought them out of the land of Egypt? The Lord. It was God who had guided them. It was God who had provided the Passover lamb. It was the Lord who had told them to go out quickly with their shoes and their feet and their staff in their hand, to get out there and not to leave a hoof behind. And if you go further into chapter 13 of Exodus and verse 3, this is further emphasized by Moses himself. Exodus 13:3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Who brought them out? It was the Lord who brought them out. But what are they saying in chapter 14? To Moses, wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It wasn't Moses who did it. It was the Lord who guided and led them to the place where they now were. And I want again to emphasize that in the closing words of chapter 13 and the opening words of chapter 14. Look at it with me. Chapter 13, verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now look at verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. It was the Lord, wasn't it? Now look at the first two verses of chapter 14. And the Lord, here it is, Jehovah, spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So it was God who brought them to that very spot where they were hemmed in by the mountains on one side, the desert on the other side, the enemy behind, and the Red Sea in front. It was God who brought them to that place. Now, if they'd realized this, then they would surely have known that He hadn't brought them thus far to forsake them and allow them to be destroyed. The fears that they had were needless. They were groundless fears. They need not have feared. And Christian, this morning, you who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, delivered from the bondage of your sin by the blood of Christ, do you think that having brought you thus far in your Christian life, that the Lord will leave you? That the Lord will not continue to be with you? That He will not continue to guide you and direct you and help you? Having led you thus far, will He not continue to direct your way? Of course He will. Listen to the promise of Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Words that we should commit to memory, if possible, because what comforting words they are. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said. Here's what God has said. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, that the Israelites had said this, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man, even if it's Pharaoh, shall do unto me. The Lord has said He will never leave me nor forsake me. They were traveling to the promised land. And that being the promised land, God would fulfill His promise and make sure that they arrived there in safety. The fears that God had to deal with, they were natural fears, but they were needless fears. And they were also nullified fears, because God actually did remove them. He did deal with their fears. He removed their fears. Look at Exodus 14 again, please, and verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. This is almost unbelievable that these are the same people who some verses before have been saying, we're going to die in the wilderness, we're done for. And now here they are going forward into the very depths of the seabed. Now what happened? Why the change? Well, God removed their fears. He nullified their fears. Their unbelief gave way to faith. And that's why Hebrews 11 can tell us it was by faith that they passed over through the Red Sea on dry ground. Their fears were laid aside and they went forward. Look at Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Here was the answer of Moses to their fearful comments. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. There was the problem, you see. They were full of fear. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, that's a very difficult thing to do, is to stand still when you feel like you've got to be running around doing something about the situation. Just a personal anecdote here. When my dad became sick that time with his aneurysm, when we were waiting what seemed like hours for the paramedics to come, and actually it was only about 2 minutes, I was pacing up and down like a cat in a cage. And a policeman had to say to me, calm down. You can't do anything. The paramedics are coming. Just calm down. Just settle down. It'll be fine. I didn't feel like settling down. I didn't feel like being quiet. But you know, when I looked back on that and thought about it, what good does it do pacing up and down and walking back and forth? It doesn't change anything. Of course, while I was pacing up and down, I was praying to the Lord, which was a good thing. But a lot of times we want to do that. We want to run around and try to fix things. And here's what the Lord said through Moses. Fear not, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. There's nothing you can do about it, but stop and just watch the Lord at work. Watch what God does. And I believe that God used that statement of Moses, reminding them of their helplessness in the situation, and yet God's absolute control over it. They could stand back and see God work. And so they were enabled to go forward at His command. Whenever we're fearful about the future, we don't see the way ahead. It's all dark. The Lord can give us grace to leave it all in His hands. He can deal with our fears. I love those words at the beginning of Isaiah 43. It's the first two verses. The prophet Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. Listen. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. What blessed words those are. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And then he says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, reminding the people of Israel of His great works in the past. God can deal with our fears. There are situations that you and I can do nothing about. And God is in control of those situations. Therefore, let us trust Him according to His own words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you by taking thought, it means by being anxious, by worrying about it, which of you by taking thought or anxious care can add one cubit unto his stature? One time when I went to join the service in Northern Ireland, the police service it was, but it was like the army, they had a minimum height requirement. And there were some of these little guys that would come and it'd be like stretching as best they could in their stocking soles, but they never made it to the height. And they could think about it all they liked, but it wouldn't add one little bit to their stature. Worrying about it isn't going to change it. That's what the Lord is saying there. Which of you, by taking anxious care or thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Well, the answer is obvious. None of you can do that. But look at verse 34 of Matthew 6. Therefore, take no thought, same word, anxious care, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought or care for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We want to know what God's going to do for us next week when we haven't lived today yet. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord dealt with their fears. But very quickly, I want you to see this. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land because God dealt with the floods. And I'm sure some people in recent days would have wished that the Lord would have dealt with the floods in their neighborhood. But notice this. The Lord dealt with their fears, but the floods of water of the Red Sea still had to be rolled back. There was no way through. But God made a way where there was no way. And I really like to concentrate upon that. God can make a way ahead for you as a Christian when there seems to be no way. He can do that for His people when it doesn't seem possible. Remember the words of the angel to Mary concerning the birth of the Lord? Luke chapter 1 verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The word impossibility is not in God's vocabulary. It's not in God's vocabulary. Because with God nothing shall be impossible. Even parting the waters of the Red Sea. Now I've never been to the Red Sea, but those who have tell me that it's quite a body of water. And to think of that great body of water being divided as if someone had taken a knife and cut it and just rolled back the waters and held them on both sides for 5 million people to go through on dry land. And that's a miracle in itself. Because living near the sea, if I would go down to the ocean after the tide had gone out, it wasn't dry land. The sand would still have little puddles in it. Little rock pools where crabs and other little critters would live and hide. But when God dried up the waters of the Red Sea, He rolled back the waters, and they walked through without even getting their feet wet. That was a miracle. You know, there are situations when divine intervention is essential. And we can't move on unless God makes it possible for us to move on. Now here, if you look at Exodus 14, you will see the situation. The Israelites could only pass through the sea if He opened up the way. That's the only way it could happen. They couldn't swim it. They couldn't get into boats. They didn't have any boats. The only way that they could get over the Red Sea is if God opened a pathway through the sea, and He did. He dealt with the floods. Now notice this, and this is very important when we're talking about faith. In Exodus 14, verse 15, there was an obedience to the Word. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, stop praying, Moses, and get on with it. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That's God's command. And it was there to be obeyed. Now they would have looked at that command and thought, well, now wait a minute. How can you go forward when there's no place to go forward on? But they had to move forward at His word. And as they moved forward at His word, God removed the obstacle in front of them. And in our lives, there comes a time when we have to step out on God's promise. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Moses, you've prayed about it. Now I want you to put feet to your prayers. Put feet to your prayers and move forward with the people. Faith is all about going forward in obedience to God, even when we don't know how He's going to work it all out in the future. Isn't that what we said about Abraham when we studied him? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit records about him in Hebrews 11 verse 8? by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. God didn't even tell him where it was. Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's faith. Abraham obeyed God, and God led him and directed him to the place where he was meant to go. If you obey God, the Lord will deal with the floods of difficulty. There must be an obedience to the word when faith is in operation. And when faith is in operation, there will be miraculously then an opening of the waters. And that happened. The Lord actually did roll the sea back. Look at it again. Exodus 14, verses 21 and 22. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And verse 22 tells us, the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So there were two just absolutely huge walls of water either side of the people as they walked through. There was an opening of the waters. So old Cecil B. DeMille had it right when he had the film about Moses and the waters rolled back. That was a movie. This is reality. God did it, and they didn't even get their feet wet. Now the psalmist talks about this. In Psalm 66, and verse 6, here's what it says. If people want to say the book of Exodus, that that's all kind of fables and little stories, well then they're going to have to say the book of Psalms is fables and little stories, because the psalmist more than once talks about the Red Sea crossing. Psalm 66, verse 6, He, God, turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. There's the history. It actually happened. And it tells us there as well that they went on dry land. Now Psalm 106 verse 9. Psalm 106 verse 9. Look at this. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. God rebuked the Red Sea and dried it up. He led them through the depths. There was an opening of the waters. Friend, many obstacles may confront you in the Lord's service, but the Lord is able to remove every one of them. Years ago I heard a hymn, and I love the words of it. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. That's great, isn't it? That's a wonderful statement. Those rivers that you think you can't cross over, those mountains that you can't make a tunnel through, God is able to do the impossible and take you forward. And so there was not only here an obedience to the word as God dealt with the floods, and an opening of the waters as he dealt with the floods, there was also an ordering of their way. Because the way across was ordered of God. You look at the chapter again, and we haven't time to look at all the particular references, but the way across the Red Sea was ordered of God. They had to go forward, downward, because when you think about it, when the seas would roll back, there would be a big deep place into the seabed. And the Lord actually uses that term in the Psalms about the depths. He led them through the depths. So they went forward, they had to go downward, they went onward, and then on the other side they had to go upward and out the other side. Now, normally, fears would set in. Well, if it were me, let me be personal about it. If I was out in the middle of the ocean, halfway across, huge walls of water on either side, I'm thinking, what if they come crashing down? And to add to the difficulty, it was nighttime, even though the Lord illuminated their way with the pillar of fire and made darkness for the Egyptians. Still, it was night. But it was the way God ordered for them, and they were content in it. How do I know that? Because I've read what the Bible says. Let me give you the reference. In Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I told you the psalmist talked about the Red Sea and a whole raft of different places. Here's another one. Psalm 78, verse 53. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. That's a nice little detail put in there, isn't it? The Lord took away their fears. Perhaps we should have talked about that under the first point. The Lord dealt with their fears, but he dealt with the floods. And they were content to go God's way. You know, I believe that if you're in the center of God's will, there's a joy in that. A contentment in knowing that He's ordering your steps. Let me read a verse from Psalm 37. It's verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And let that comfort your soul. Whatever floods seem to stop your progress, go forward and God will deal with those. By faith, you can go through. Yes, there was the instrumentality of the rod of Moses that speaks to us of the cross of Christ, a piece of a tree. There was the strong wind, the strong east wind that blew back the sea. That speaks to us, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. These were instrumental in dividing the waters. The power of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are both essential. If God's people are to go forward in service, we go forward on the basis of the bloodshedding of Calvary. We go forward in the power and enablement of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord will order our way and bring us to the other side. Something else, however, that we want to finish with. The Lord not only dealt with their fears and dealt with the floods. The Lord, in bringing them through the waters by faith, dealt with their foes. Look at Exodus 14, verse 14. How good it is when the Lord is your defender. The Lord, Jehovah, shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You won't even have to say anything. God will deal with the enemy. He dealt with their foes. That promise was fulfilled. If you look again at verses 24 and 25 and 28 of this chapter, we read, and it came to pass, verse 24, that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Here's God dealing with the enemy. And took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They recognized that God was against them. Now look at verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. That which was the pathway of victory to God's people became the watery grave of their enemies. All the enemy was strong, but God was stronger. And so it is for you, Christian. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We know the devil is strong, but God is stronger. And by faith we can move ahead in the service of the Lord, knowing that God will deal with all of our foes. An instance of that I want to show you quickly from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Just three verses. 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 12, the man of God says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Have you ever been in that spot that you don't know what to do, but your eyes are upon the Lord? That's the important thing. Look at verse 15 then. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Now look at verse 17. This could just as easily have been spoken back there in the wilderness to the children of Israel. For it says, Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. There it is again, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. To return to Exodus 14, the Egyptians that were led by Pharaoh were intent on bringing God's people Israel back into bondage. And isn't that the devil's plan for us, to stop us from going forward? That's his plan for the church. I have no doubt about that. That's the devil's plan for true churches, to stop them going forward. It's the devil's plan for you as a Christian. It is the devil's device and it is the devil's aim to stop you from going forward in your Christian life. He wants to hinder you. But the Lord's not going to let it happen. He's going to deal with the devil. And in the work of God, I firmly believe the devil's crowd will be arrayed against us as we seek to go forward, but the Lord will deal with the foes of His church. He has promised to. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, very quickly, notice the great faith of the Israelites in God's promise to deal with their enemies. Exodus 14, verse 29 says, But the children of Israel ran. It doesn't say that. It says, The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I have to confess, if it were not for faith, if I saw the waters held back on the other side, I'd be running as fast as I could to get to the other side. They didn't run. No. They believed God. That's how we know they had great faith. They just walked calmly across the dry seabed, knowing that God had called them to go forward and the Lord would bring them to the other side. They didn't have to run. They walked because they had supreme confidence in the Lord's power to deliver. We don't need to run if we can just walk with God. And the Lord delivered them, for verse 30 says, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. God keeps His word. You see, the Lord had promised Abraham many, many generations before this. Way back in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, He said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, that's Egypt, will I judge. And afterward shall they, that's the people of Israel, come out with great substance. That was a promise many years before to Abram. And God still had that word before him. God still had that promise to fulfill, and He brought them through the Red Sea. Christian, whatever the Red Sea is that you face, have faith in God. Trust in God, and He will bring you across. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. And believer, when it comes to that sea of death, as the hymn says, For needed grace I'll pray. I know that the Lord will quickly come and roll the sea away. Then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread, we will push ahead. He'll roll the sea away. Let's all pray.